to start in Matthew chapter 3, page 734. We're going to read the story of the baptism of Jesus, verses 13 through 17. Page 734, Matthew chapter 3. At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." Then John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I have found happiness in him." Keep your finger there, because we're going to be coming back to that. And let's turn now to the book of Isaiah, our Old Testament reading, page 555 in your Pew Bible, 555, Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42, 1 through 9, page 555. I hear Luna. Everybody say bye to Luna as she's going out, okay? Love the sound of babies. Isaiah 42. "But here is my servant, the one I uphold, my chosen, who brings me delight. I put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He won't cry out or shout aloud or make his voice heard in public. He won't break a bruised reed. He won't extinguish a faint wick. But he will surely bring justice. He won't be extinguished or broken until he has established justice in the land. The coastlands await his teaching. God, the Lord, says, the one who created the heavens, the one who stretched them out, the one who spread out the earth and its offspring, the one who gave breath to its people and life to those who walk on it, I, the Lord, have called you for a good reason. I will grasp your hand and guard you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to lead the prisoners from prison, and those who sit in darkness from the dungeon. I am the Lord, that is my name. I don't hand out my glory to others or my praise to idols. The things announced in the past, look, they've already happened. But I'm declaring new things before they even appear. I tell you about them." The word of the Lord. Lived in Down Province, Ontario, Canada when I was a kid, and we had relatives in Saskatchewan, Canada, the Midwest. And we would make the trip across the north end of Lake Superior to Saskatchewan for Christmases and vacations. And we'd often travel in a tandem or a caravan because several relatives would go at once. Didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't stay in hotels. It was a non-stop shot all the way. We'd stop and eat. One time we stopped and had a picnic on the north shore of Lake Superior. When we bundled into our cars and got down the road about an hour, we realized that neither car had Lloyd in it. Lloyd was a cousin my age. Each car thought the other car had Lloyd in it. And so we turned around and drove the hour back to the picnic spot. That'd be 2 hours. And there was Lloyd sitting on the picnic bench. When his mother, of course it would be the mother, ask him, "Why are you sitting here? What did you do?" Lloyd said, "You always told me that if I got lost, stay where I was and you'd come find me." Verse 6 of Isaiah, God has told the nations, he's made a covenant with the nations, that we'd come find them. This is Epiphany. The word Epiphany means a sudden manifestation, normally of a divine or a supernatural being. It's the season starting this Sunday with the baptism of Jesus and God saying, "You're my beloved Son, and you I'm well pleased." And this year it concludes with the last Sunday in February, the Transfiguration, with God saying, in essence, the same thing. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And the stories that we're going to be looking at during this season are from the Old Testament. What does it look like when Jesus shows up? And what should we expect? And what should we be doing about it? Now, what we're doing, it's a little bit of a sidebar here, what we're doing in our church during this season is deliberately using these Epiphany scriptures to inform how we do church. We have an open window in this life of our church currently, new budget, some staff transitions, and one of the things we're looking at is how do we do church and how can we better do church aligned with Scripture. And we are looking at my leadership. What should my leadership look like? We want these scriptures to inform us. We want the way we do church to be anchored in Scripture. So let's look at these two scriptures this morning. Matthew chapter 3, first of all. That's what we read first, the baptism of Jesus. And notice a couple of things. Notice that when John said, this is awkward for me to be baptizing you, Jesus said, we have to do it. We need all of righteousness fulfilled, or a synonym for righteousness could be justice. We're doing it to fill full all righteousness or all justice. Notice that the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Last week we looked at Simeon, on whom the Spirit rested. How do you know the Spirit is on somebody? Well, they knew, Jesus knew, and it was, well, what does it look like? Oh, it looks like a dove kind of fluttering down and resting on him. And then you have the voice. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I take delight or am well pleased." Now, we didn't read it, but you have your Bibles in front of you, so I'd like you to flip over a page or two to chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, and we'll see that this baptism is the sort of trigger that kicks Jesus' ministry loose. In chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, you have sort of a summary, Matthew's summary of what Jesus' ministry is going to look like. And the rest of the book of Matthew is the fleshing out, anecdotally, in stories of what you see in Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Summary: Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. He announced the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread throughout Syria. People brought to him all those who had various kinds of diseases, those in pain, those possessed by demons, those with epilepsy, and those who were paralyzed, and he healed them. And when you read the book of Matthew, you see how this gets fleshed out in detail, the teaching and the healing. And so we have this baptism story, but we also have the Isaiah story. And having read the Matthew story and having looked at Jesus, when you come to the Isaiah story, you can't help but go, similarities here. What's going on? It's no coincidence that these two texts come together on this first Sunday of Epiphany. So let's go back to Isaiah. I ask you to keep your finger in there. Chapter 42 of the book of Isaiah. Again, that's page 555 if you lost your place. Now let's notice the In chapter 42, "But here is my servant." And some of your Bibles, I think the Common English, if you have a pew Bible, it says "God's servant described." Some of your Bibles will have a heading like "the suffering servant." So here's the servant. Who's the servant? Well, in Isaiah, it's probable that the servant being referred to is the nation of Israel, the people group of Israel. In what sense is Jesus a servant? "Servant, the one I behold, my chosen, who brings me delight. I delight in him." Isn't that what the voice said? Same thing happening here with the nation that's happening with Jesus. "And the Holy Spirit is on him. I've put my Spirit upon him." What for? "So that he will bring justice to the nations." In what sense was Jesus, who is casting out demons and healing and teaching, bringing justice, fulfilling all righteousness? or justice. You cannot read Isaiah if you're on this end of Isaiah without looking through the lens of Jesus and going, some similarities here. Bring justice to the nations. Can we spend a few minutes talking about justice? Notice, first of all, in verse 2, that it's quiet justice. Reading a Jewish commentator, a commentator on Isaiah who happened to be Jewish, he's not Christian, he's not reading it from a Christian perspective, had this phrase. He says, the justice will be quiet and undemonstrative. I'm not in favor of abortion. When we were in Seattle, we marched in some right to life marches, and we're more vocal, shall we say, and out front in the whole right to life movement. Two things changed me. One was witnessing a Planned Parenthood clinic where a young 14-year-old girl, I was going in, and people, and some of them were Christians, you could tell by their posters, were yelling at her while she was going in. And I remember thinking, if Jesus were here, he would probably somehow be walking with this girl and not yelling at her. And then I was at a men's retreat. Several hundred men, the place was packed out. And it was one of those retreats where you had to have a celebrity. So they had a state senator come who happened to be a Christian. And he told a story of how he just moved legislation through the state Senate to prevent abortions. And he used the illustration of a 12-year-old girl who'd gotten pregnant, and she was the poster child for this whole thing. And he finished his comment and said, from now on in this state, no 12-year-old girl will be able to get an abortion. And the place erupted. And I sat there and thought, well, what about the 12-year-old girl? And I read Isaiah, and I hear that the justice that this suffering servant will bring, it's going to be quiet. It's going to be undemonstrative. And it flows naturally into the next aspect of it. It won't take a dimly burning wick and snuff it out. And it won't take a bruised reed and snap it off. You know, normally when you have a dimly burning wick, you either want to move it to the side, it's smoking, or you want to trim it to make it shine bright. If you have a vase of flowers and you have greenery in it, a bruised reed is one you pull out and get rid of because you want to have a robust, you want to have a robust vase of lively looking flowers, and you want to have light that burns bright. You don't want a smoking light, smoke, black smoke coming up, contaminating the air. We get rid of that sort of stuff. How do you build a church out of dimly burning wicks and bruised reeds, for crying out loud? Yeah, you can be here, but please sit in the back. But this suffering servant, when he brings justice in this quiet way, he's going to be tending dimly burning wicks. I'm glad, because that's what I am. And he's going to be taking a bruised reed and saying, instead of throwing you out, we're going to kind of prop you up and maybe lean you against the one that's not bruised, because we don't want you to break off. This is who we are. And then finally in verse 6, we notice about the justice that there's a covenant that God has made with the nations. A bond, a promise that he's made with the nations as a light to the nations, verse 7. And he has promised, Lloyd, there's going to be somebody come to get you. Now notice the kind of people that are going to be sought. They're called the blind, and they're called people in darkness or people in the dungeon. So the suffering servant's role is to take a flashlight and to be constantly on the lookout for people who are blind or people who are in darkness or people who are in dungeons. That's what the suffering servant does, and he or she or they as a people group do it quietly. Verse 7. So Let me just summarize then. Israel is the servant. The Holy Spirit is on the nation of Israel. And their assignment is to bring justice to the nations. And the justice looks like looking for the blind and those in darkness and shining light on them and opening their eyes and bringing them out. Jesus Christ is the servant on whom the Spirit rests. And his assignment is similar. And he does similar things. He looks for the oppressed, the broken, the diseased, the demonized, the unsaved, those in prison. And the Holy Spirit is on him, and he does the same thing. Now I want to jump. Nation of Israel, suffering servant. Jesus Christ, servant. I'd like you to jump with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Some of you don't even need to look there. It's page 830. 830 in your pew Bible. Now let's keep this in mind. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that's page 830, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The disciples have been with Jesus after he's been resurrected. They've been with him for several days. And Acts chapter 1, Jesus is going to ascend and go back into heaven to be with his Father. And so they're all asking, you know, is the kingdom going to be restored? Blah, 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 blah. And he says, that's not. Let's not talk about that. But he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you're to remain where you are, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The nation of Israel bringing justice, Jesus Christ bringing justice. Now the church has been empowered by the Holy Spirit, elected, chosen, empowered by the Holy Spirit to continue this sort of job description. And starting in Jerusalem and Judea, the uttermost parts of the earth, bringing light to the nations. Going and finding Lloyd. Jake Paul is here. We were together yesterday at the community meal. Our church serves a meal to people in our community on Saturdays. And we spent time at the meal, and then afterwards, as everybody else is leaving, Jake and I were talking. I hope it's okay for me to do this, Jake. If it's not, you can forgive me, because we pray a prayer of confession before the Eucharist, so you can we'll build that in here, okay? I was talking about Jake's parents with him, his mom, Allison, his dad, Norm. And Naomi, you're here too somewhere, aren't you? Yeah, it's your mom and dad too. And we know Norm and Allison real well, and talked about the jump start that Jake and Naomi have had because of the parents they have, the quality parents. And we talked about that a bit, and then Jake's response to that was, I know that that's what's happened, and that puts, in my language, a responsibility on me, that having been given this asset of godly parents that gave me a jump start, then I have a responsibility to make sure that I share that with others. I don't keep it to myself. Now, this is in this context of a community meal. Can I talk about that for a little bit? Is Anita here? Anita baked the cookies that you're eating out on the table. She bakes desserts. Comes in every Friday night. Last Friday night, she was here till 11 o'clock with Julie baking desserts for the community meal. Spirit of Life Church served the meal. If you want to be around a bunch of people that are living large in the Lord, you come and Spirit of Life serves. They had the high school basketball teams, men and women's basketball teams from Edgewood High School in West Covina, and their coaches here serving the meal. They caught some fire, and they're going to do a coat and shoe drive to get coats and shoes for the homeless in our community just because they were here. We talked with Rebel. We talked with Mountain, Lonnie. We talked with Donnie. Some of you might know Donnie. He usually hangs out across the street, talks to himself. Sometimes he comes into church here. Can't sit for longer than 30 seconds. Was baptized in this tank. I was sitting on the front row one Sunday when he happened to be here during the Eucharist. And when he's here during the Eucharist, he comes and eats and drinks. And he walked by me. It had just been announced that we were having baptism the next Sunday. He walked by and he said, I want to be baptized. I got with Michael and Jovi and some others, and, you know, what are we going to do about that? Here's Donnie like a child. He's just like a child. He wants to be baptized. You going to not baptize him? This is probably me. Made sure he's the last one in the water. Let's put it that way. He doesn't bathe very often. Where am I going? Met Richard. Been on the street. I'm going to drink coffee with Richard this week. I'd like to talk to him. Real articulate guy. I'd like to talk to him about how we can maybe do more than just provide a meal. There's a way we can do something about low-income housing in Azusa. There's a woman at the table with us. I said, are you on the street? She said, no, I live in a mobile home, but the rent has doubled since I've moved in, and I probably will be if I don't get some help somewhere along the line. Karen Austin doing a closed closet. Dave and Kathy Barbaro, closed closet. Hazel's there opening it up. Michael had preached. It's in that context that Jake and I are talking about this asset that he had of having a mother and father that gave him a good jump start. And I thought as we were talking that what he is saying is exactly how I hope we do church, that we're elected, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we take seriously our responsibility to be a good steward of the asset that we have in bringing justice to the nations, in bringing light to the nations. I told you in the introduction that one of the things I'm doing in this season of my life and our church is helping me is looking at my leadership. And so I dusted off my ordination vows last week. I was ordained as an elder about 40-some years ago. And I wanted to look at those and ask, what does the church expect of me as a pastor? And here's one of the promises that I made when I was ordained. Will you be ready with faithful diligence to banish all erroneous and strange doctrines contrary to God's word? And will you use both public and private warnings and exhortations both to the converted and the unconverted, as need shall require and occasion be given? And I said in front of God and the bishop, I will, the Lord being my helper. I'm not sure I've been real good on banishing all erroneous and strange doctrine contrary to God's word. So I want to this morning make up for lost time. One of the erroneous doctrines and strange teachings, I think, that has slithered into the church, especially in America, and I use the word slithered deliberately because it didn't come with a loud bang and posters, but it just kind of quietly, subtly has crept in, is that the flashlight that we have been given for the nations has been turned and been used for us, so that we would enjoy a comforting, comfortable, safe walk with God. We have been elected, and the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us for our comfort. And to move the metaphor further, then use our assets to build a bigger and brighter and flashier flashlight so that we can have more light, so that we can have more comfort, and we can feel good about ourselves. Karen and I watched the Rose Bowl parade, and one of the floats on the Rose Parade, I think it was La Habra, was featuring the fire and rescue group on their float. They did a close-up of one of the officers that was standing on the float, decked out in his full fire rescue gear, and I noticed that on his helmet he had there was attached his flashlight on his helmet, so when he turned his head, I also noticed that the flashlight was dented and there had been paint chipped off of it. And the thought occurred to me that if I were lost in the dark, I would want someone with a flashlight like that coming to get me, because I would have a sense that he knew how to use it and it had been used before. And then I thought, What do people who are lost think when they drive by Foothill Church or when they know us? Do they think, boy, they have a pretty flashlight. I got to be around those people because their flashlight is big and bright and cool. Or do they think, that flashlight has a lot of dings in it. It's got paint chipped off and the lens may be cracked. But I know that if I ever needed help, there'd be somebody who would come and find me from that church. Do you know that these texts are called suffering servant texts? They're not called comfortable kids texts. It took us 2 hours to go back and find Lloyd. Where would the fun have been on that vacation if we hadn't? So I'm done preaching. But I'm going to ask you to make this your assignment for the week, okay? Notice I deliberately stepped down there. So you can take this and do what you want with it. Because you've heard this sermon, there's going to be a blind person or someone in the dark that you're going to stumble across this week. You don't need to go to the Sudan. They're around us all the time. So someone who's blind or in the dark is going to come across your path this week. And while they're in your path, or normally it's after, in my experience, we realize the Holy Spirit nudges me and say, that's one. So I'm going to ask you to, while it's happening, you be deliberate about how you use your flashlight. If you missed it, jay back and say, I'm sorry, I blew it. How can I lead you into the light, metaphorically? And then here's what I'd love to have happen. I know it's a risk. Would you email me or somehow other way tell me about that? Because what I would like to do is use a story or two, with your permission, or if you want me to keep it anonymous, as the introduction to next Sunday's sermon. I'd like us to know what we're doing and how we're doing with these Epiphany readings. So would you let me know, just an email, or if you feel like, well, that'd be bragging, have somebody else tell me, okay? Do a little sanctified connivance and have somebody else tell on you that this is what you've done. I'd like to hear how this is fleshed out, because I know that the Holy Spirit will be faithful to this. So that's your assignment, okay? If you want to pass this class, get your paperwork in. All right, we normally take a few moments of quiet to reflect on what's been said. Would you close yourself in for a few moments and reflect? And then Adrian is going to come and lead you in the prayers of the people. And then following the peace, Wesley will come and lead you at the table of the Lord. Amen.
One of the ways that we respond to the preached word is through prayer. And so as Dale said, I'm going to take a moment to lead us in some prayer together. And so what we're going to do for prayers of the people is if there's a prayer concern or praise that you want to shout out, raise your hand, I'll call on you, and I'll repeat it back to the microphone so that everybody can hear it. And then we will respond with, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer or hear our praise.